This is Power Hour. A production of IrishSportsDaily.com. Your number one source for year-round Fighting Irish recruiting news and more. Visit IrishSportsDaily.com now to sign up for a premium subscription. And now, the host of Power Hour, Mike Frank.
All right, folks, welcome once again, everybody, to Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. I'm your host, Mike Frank, and I'm here with my two co-hosts in Jamie Uyama up in Canada and Matt Freeman. Well, guys, we saw quite a bit when it comes to football this weekend. We had pretty good access to watch the team, so that was exciting. We'll talk about that. Also, some recruiting stuff happening this weekend. Get some opinions on that. Offensive lineman John Dirksen commits to Notre Dame, and that was a big commitment for Notre Dame. They need some offensive linemen, so we'll talk about that and how he fits into the system here. And then they had a bunch of other visitors in. We'll talk a little bit about that. But mainly it's going to be spring practice heavy for certain. Want to mention once again, it's a great time to sign up for Irish Sports Daily. We're still running our special, which is $19.99 from now until August 1st. So all the coverage that's going on between now and August 1st, still got a lot of spring practice coverage coming up. We've got all the May evaluation stuff that's coming up. All of camp, we'll have football camp plus Irish Invasion. There should be a lot of people coming in. There's a lot of sophomores coming in here in a week or so, coming in to visit, and we'll, you know, there'll be a lot of action there. And then I also wanted to mention that if you enjoy the show, please help us expand our listenership as far as the podcast goes. If you listen to it, you know, we'd greatly appreciate you telling other folks about it. If you take a link from the site and share it with somebody via email or Twitter, there's a share button there for Twitter or Facebook. We'd greatly appreciate it. We're just trying to grow our listenership, and we'd appreciate any help you could give us in that regard. Also wanted to mention, if you want to advertise with the podcast, feel free to email me at mikefrank18@sbcglobal.net. Once again, mikefrank18@sbcglobal.net. And I can give you all the details when it comes to advertising, downloads, our reach, as far as cost. And, you know, I think we're very reasonable when it comes to that. Also, if you have any questions, feel free to stop by The Huddle, which is our free message board on IrishSportsDaily.com. You can go to the top of the boards there, and you click on Forum and search for The Huddle. Click on that, and you can ask whatever questions you'd like of our staff, whether it be about the podcast or about the team or recruiting. And our staff will be more than happy to stop by there and answer your questions. All right, guys, let's get into it. We got a chance to see a lot of football this past weekend. Got to see Friday's practice, although we can't comment on it, and of course Saturday's as well. We can comment. So, what did we learn, Matt? Let's start with you. What did we learn about this team and what we were able to see?
Well, they are practicing a lot more physical this year. That's takeaway number one. So they must have listened to you. But then the other takeaway is I think Brandon Wimbush is kind of coming into his own and getting used to going through the ups and downs of a practice where you might see him throw a couple incompletions and then he'll bounce right back with a big throw. So I think that's kind of what you want to see at this point from him, just because everything's not going to be perfect. And then I think there is along with the physicality in practice, there is a big emphasis on the run game. They've worked on that quite a bit, not even going like 11 on 11, but just all run plays for periods of time. So I think that's kind of what I've taken away from it, and I've just specifically watched the offense. So Jamie might have a few takeaways on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, Jamie, what are your thoughts? What did you see?
Well, I think on defense, I would say they're kind of walking before they're running. It doesn't seem like they've installed a lot of stuff, and which kind of makes sense to what Mike Elko was saying before spring ball and what he said during. So they're really taking an approach where they're really hitting like fundamentals and an individual, I guess the best word I would say to describe it, it's like a really granular approach to it where it's just like the fine points of everything. They're really detail oriented, very specific with what they want in terms of technique. And I think that's a good thing. They're trying to establish the team and the players on it that play a certain way. And you can't do that if you're just throwing scheme at it and you say, you got to learn this and you got to learn that. So in that sense, I mean, I would say they're behind the offense at this time. But in the long run, this kind of work that they're doing in the spring is probably going to pay off a lot later on.
That's kind of what I gathered. I thought in the end, you know, I love to see the run focus. And really, that's been all spring. They've spent a tremendous amount of time just focusing on the run and making sure that they're giving that enough attention. As I mentioned in my practice report, I think they probably focused almost double what we've seen before. You know, as far as there's usually like the first six periods, they're focusing on running the football. You know, they'll do a lot of half line type of stuff, or they'll do 11 on 11. This past practice, they did 11 on 11 a lot of times in the red zone. And it was running play after running play after running play, and trying to get more tough down there. And I liked it. I thought the defense did a pretty good job. We'll talk about that. But I liked that they're focusing so much on it. And when you look at what they have returning, you know, with three great backs, and then they have such great offensive linemen and an inexperienced quarterback, it makes a whole lot of sense. So I was very happy to see that. And I'm excited to see where that all heads as spring practice unfolds and into fall camp. Guys, I was curious. I was watching the coaching styles of these new coaches, and I think that's important to kind of get an idea of how they coach and what they do. Anything stand out to you, Matt, about any of these coaches and their coaching style?
I mean, outside of Elko, I don't think anyone really stood out. I think Chip Long does take his time. He doesn't rush things. He's more of a patient guy than, per se, Mike Denbrock was, because Denbrock jumped down kids' throats right away, so... I think that may pay off, but, I mean, Elko really gets after those kids. He's not afraid to stop a drill and go in and demonstrate and then get in the kid's face. So, I mean, you saw that on the practice video where he kind of was unhappy with how Jalen Elliott was doing a drill and walked in there and shoved Nick Coleman like the drill was supposed to go, and then Jalen Elliott obviously got a little pissed off about it. But I think it's good to see a hands-on approach, because I don't think Van Gorder was so hands-on at times. I think he would have no problem getting into kids, but in terms of just kind of slowing things down and teaching, I think that's where Elko has kind of made the biggest difference from what I've seen so far.
Jamie, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with Mike Elko and just kind of his approach to things. You know, I mentioned the attention to detail, like they're, you know, I was watching the safeties. He's working with the safeties in individual, just working on run keys. It's just not something that you see a lot of, you know, especially with DBs, usually, you know, they're doing very pass specific type drills where they're working on those things. They're not working on run keys too often. So It was something that was kind of nice to see. You know, I was really impressed with Clark Lee. I mean, he's definitely not a fiery guy. He's not an in-your-face guy at all. But just he's another guy who's just a teacher. You know, very you know, very sure of kind of what they're doing and how the linebacker drills were structured and how it was very specific. And I liked watching that, and I liked to see him deal with linebackers. And I don't think the linebackers are where they need to be at all right now. But you know, I like his approach to it.
Yeah, that's one thing that it stood out to me, I guess, too, is that, you know, that a lot of positive guys out there. You know, a lot of teaching guys versus maybe a lot of yelling guys. And you know, when a team is down. And they've, you know, they're not feeling very good about themselves. I think you need some guys that are not necessarily cheerleaders, but guys that are upbeat and are positive and are teaching versus yelling. And I like seeing that. And I think you got that in Clark Lee. I think Dell Alexander is kind of more of a teacher type guy. So I like seeing that. You know, I think Elko teaches well. He doesn't yell a ton, not like Van Gorder. But you know, he does make his presence known when he needs to, but he's very hands-on teaching. And, so I like seeing that. And I think that that's a good positive thing. Now, obviously, Brandon Wimbush wasn't going to be as polished as DeShone Kizer. You know, that would be ridiculous to expect that. But when I watched the kid, you know, Matt brought up a good point that, you know, he may have a couple throws where they're just off, and you can tell his mechanics weren't necessarily where they needed to be. But I liked how he rebounded. You know, he would immediately fix what the problem was and then start making plays. And he made a number of really great throws, you know, a lot of great back shoulder type throws that are difficult for a quarterback to compete or to complete. And then, of course, difficult for the receiver to make the body adjustment to make the catch. And I thought that that was pretty impressive. I really have a lot of faith in this kid. You know, I just think it's early right now, and he's only going to get better. And I'm real pleased with, you know, what I saw from him as far as an accurate thrower. He's not perfect, and he's got some work to do. I think especially deep balls. He wasn't very accurate in deep balls. I think he needs to get much better at that. I'd like to see a little more loft on his throws, a little more air under some of his throws. He's certainly got the arm to do it. But overall, I was real impressed with Brandon Wimbush, and I think he, you know, if he continues to develop and you know, fine tune his game, he's going to be pretty effective as a passer. Jamie, did you have anything that stood out to you on Wimbush?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Mike, that he definitely missed some things, and I thought the deep ball, he didn't look that great on the deep ball, but he made a couple of throws on intermediate balls that I just, you know, were really impressive. And I thought, yeah, the accuracy on some of those balls, it wasn't just that he was putting it on the guys, but it was the ball placement of where he put it. Especially a couple of ones towards the sideline that were just like back shoulder throws that were just a thing of beauty that, you know, you wouldn't expect from a guy that it would look like he's more of a veteran. And I know he's been around for a couple of years, but, you know, he hasn't got a ton of reps, at least when we watch. So he made a couple really, really impressive throws to me that I don't know. I left very hopeful thinking of how good he's going to be this fall.
The thing that also stood out to me is when he first got here, you know, he'd throw those short passes. He'd just drill people with it. You know, he just wanted to showcase his arm strength. But now he's starting to develop that touch, and that's going to be very important. Threw a really nice kind of pass out in the flat to Tony Jones that Tony Jones almost took to the house. That was a very nice soft ball and something that you need when you're throwing to a running back. You know, because he's trying to set up what he's going to do when he catches the ball. And so I was real impressed, I guess, with the touch that he showed there. Matt, what did you think about Ian Book's performance? You know, what did you think?
I thought he had a hell of a day on Saturday. He probably threw 4 or 5 touchdowns in the periods that they were working on in the red zone and then a couple of the 7-on-7 stuff. He's very accurate with the ball. He doesn't have the arm strength of Brandon Wimbush by any means, but he placed a back shoulder throw to the corner to Miles Boykin or Alize that, I mean, I don't think Brandon Wimbush could have made a better throw. So, yeah. I mean, that was impressive to me, and he looked good. Like Jamie said, they were doing a couple bootleg things, and he looked good throwing on the run too. He definitely still has quite a ways to go. Anything not towards the sideline, he kind of struggles with, but I mean, he's a freshman. He hasn't even been on campus a year. So,
yeah.
I just think kind of what we saw from a couple periods of 7-on-7 earlier this spring till when they went live, I mean, I thought he looked night and day already. So, yeah. I don't think he's quite ready to play in a football game right now, but I mean, I'm encouraged by the progress that he's shown over the last couple weeks.
The thing that I thought was impressive is, you know, they put him in a lot of 70-yard opportunities, you know, start at the 30 and drive, and he made a number of those and drove him down for a touchdown. That's really hard for a true freshman to do. And then also, you know, playing with his second string and just being able to do that when you're, you know, these are the first real live bullets he's seen. And so I thought that was pretty encouraging. Jimmy, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could tell he was gaining confidence throughout the practice, which was really nice to see. I mean, I thought he had a really, really solid day on Saturday. I mean, there's an obvious drop off between him and Wimbush, but I think people kind of, just because he's likely going to be the number two guy. I think people kind of forget that how young he is. You know, Matt said he's, you know, hasn't even been on campus for a year yet. And I mean, if you look at Deshaun Kizer at the same point, I mean, his spring, he looked much worse than Book did. I mean, Book looked better on Saturday than Kizer ever looked in that very first spring for Kizer, right? So, yeah, I mean, I was definitely encouraged by how he looked on Saturday.
I was too. And I think he's, you know, he's got that kind of gamer, you know, mentality. And I like that in a quarterback. I think he's very calm. You know, handles things very, very well. I do think he needs to get a little bit better. His deep throws were not very accurate as well. You know, I think he has some mechanical things too. Sometimes the nose came down, you know, the ball came out with the nose down. And so he's going to have a few mechanical things he needs to work on. But I really loved what I saw from him. I thought, you know, here's a guy that, if nothing else, I think he's going to be capable of leading the offense. And the one thing when you notice him out on the field is everything he does with 100% intensity. And so he's a kid that's going to be in the film room, you know, preparing for every opportunity that he has. And so I'm excited about his potential. And I guess we'll see what happens. Guys, we saw a lot of big plays from the running backs on Saturday. A lot of big holes, a lot of big runs. You know, it's clear that Notre Dame has three backs right now. There's no question about it. Tony Jones certainly had the biggest day and looked great. There's no question he looked outstanding. But, I mean, you know, based off of this, which back do you like the most, Matt?
I have no idea. I mean, Tony Jones had a day, but at the same time, people in the practice reports and stuff, they're worried about Josh Adams ripping off a 60-yard run right down the middle of the field. So, I mean, that was an impressive run. And then Josh Adams is also running with a lot more power. I mean, he was trying to run over people during the red zone situation. So I thought that was encouraging because I think he's finally healthy. And then obviously Dexter Williams, if you give him any space, he's gone. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of his distinction over Adams and Jones, is he can hit the little hole. And I mean, he's got that speed that those two don't have. So, but I mean, overall, I think I'd have to go with Tony Jones just because he was making plays out of the backfield in the pass game. He was making blocks, and then he was getting some tough yards in the red zone. Like, he just powered through 5 yards of defenders in one goal line situation to score a touchdown. So, if he's not used inside the 10 this year, I would be shocked.
Well, you know, I think Josh was trying to show, hey, I can run with power, yeah. You know, and I think that was good. Dex got hurt, so it's hard to say, but boy, that first run he had, it was impressive, you know. Not that big of a hole, showed great feet, great balance, great vision, shot through there and then twisted his ankle.
You know, but he came back.
Yeah, he did come back. He's a tough kid.
Just so that's out there.
Yeah, he's not hurt or anything like that, but I don't know. I don't know which back I'd choose at this point. You know, if all I do know, and I liked hearing what Autry said when we got to interview him on Friday. He's like, look, we don't have a starter. And I tell him, we don't have a starter. You know, who gets playing time is going to be decided, and it's going to be earned. But we don't have a starter, and we don't want anybody to think they are a starter at this point. And I think Tony Jones has said, all right, you guys who thought you were starting, I'm not sure you're going to. So I love that competition. Jamie, anything stand out to you?
Well, I mean, it was impossible not to notice all three of the guys. They were great. I mean, definitely to reiterate what Matt was saying about Josh Adams and running with power, I just really thought he was running with better pad level. You know, he's so tall, so it's kind of, you know, hard for him to get his pad level down. But I mean, he was running through tackles because he was like falling forward a little bit more than you saw from him before. I mean, just Tony Jones, he looks so good. I mean, all those guys, I think what stood out to me is even when the holes weren't there, they were finding a way to kind of like slip through a crease or break a tackle near the line of scrimmage. It was really impressive. We've raved about the backs before, but it just kind of seemed a bit different this time, especially with Tony Jones. I just think he looked spectacular on Saturday, but he just, there's so many things he does well. In addition to running with power, like he catches the ball better than some of the receivers. He's a really, really talented kid. I think he's got the most upside out of all three of the kids, in my opinion, just for his all around game. Maybe Dexter probably is the most talented athlete, but I think Tony's got the most upside out of them all.
Interesting. This is going to be a very, you know, competitive situation, and now we got three backs, and three backs who've shown they deserve playing time. Three-headed monster coming, and I've never liked the three-headed monster. I never have, and the reason why is it just doesn't give a guy a chance to kind of get going. And I think a lot of running backs need at least 15 carries in a game to make sure that they, you know, can get some flow. You know, they need a full series. They need, you know, a half to kind of get going. And these guys have all earned playing time at this point, and I'm just not sure we're going to get the best out of those guys because, you know, there's only going to be so many carries that are out there. And so I'm a little bit concerned about that. And I know, hey, having three great backs is a fantastic problem to have. There's no question about that. But I think what you want to do is maximize the most you can get out of those carries. And I'm a little concerned that, you know, each back, you know, a guy like Josh Adams, we've seen, he needs carries in order to be effective. He's not going to blow anybody away with his first three carries. You know, it's just not who he is. He's a guy that's got to kind of get in the flow of the game, and then he starts wearing you down. Kind of like when he got the lion's share in USC and he was healthy. You know, boy, the more carries he got, the better he got. And that's kind of my concern. Matt, you're over here kind of smiling at me, but
I mean, go ahead. I would just implement a two-back system.
Yeah.
So
that's what you would do.
You get
so which guy gets them. What guy gets cut out of this then?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, there you go. Just,
whoever's
I mean, that's a problem.
Whoever's not practicing that week.
Well, that's a problem. You run into one of those things where it's like, they all deserve it. They all deserve time just based off of what we saw.
Well, if you call a few more running plays, I think that...
That'll give you a few more carries. Help. Yeah. I mean, that's going to give you maybe an extra 10 carries a game, which is good. There's no doubt. And I think we'll see more 10 extra carries a game out of this group. I really do. Jamie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't like the three-headed monster either. But I think it can work. It just depends on the egos of the guys. And I think if you look at the Patriots this year, where, you know, look at the Super Bowl, James White didn't really do much all in the playoffs. He was arguably, you know, I know Tom Brady won the MVP, but, I mean, James White could have won the MVP as well. I mean, he was great, terrific in that game, catching the ball and running the ball in that game. But I mean, LeGarrette Blount led the NFL in rushing touchdowns this year. You know, a few games before that, Deion Lewis was their main guy. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the Patriot way of doing things where there's not a lot of ego involved. And, you know, if any one of those three guys was the star on the day, I think if they do play all three, I mean, I just hope that they just ride the hot hand on that day and just kind of go with it. But I mean, it's just a really hard balance to find that. I would prefer if they had two guys, but I mean, I don't know what you do. Like you said, there's all three guys are good enough to play. So
unbelievable. You guys are complaining about three good running backs.
Nobody's complaining about it. Nobody's complaining about it. I think it can be a problem. And here's the weird thing. If you had one that was kind of a knucklehead, it would probably be an easy choice. But all three of them are just fantastic kids, too. They're good people. And, you know, so that makes it even harder. It is a tough.
They'll get it worked out. Georgia figures it out every year. Alabama figures it out every year.
Yeah, well, they don't usually run three backs consistently like Notre Dame was.
Georgia's going to run three backs this year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. What they'll probably do is run two pretty heavily, and then one will get some garbage yards at the end. That's pretty much what
that's what
most
Notre
people
Dame
do.
Well, one guy will get suspended for the first month.
Yeah,
they'll work it out.
All right, Jamie, we don't need to hear any of that crap. Or I think he was talking about an Irish player.
I was talking about Georgia.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Well, then yeah. I don't really care what Georgia does at this point.
Yeah, Nick Chubb getting suspended wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. All right, guys, I was curious to watch the right side of the offensive line because that's where, you know, the competition is and we've got some stuff. I really thought that they looked pretty good. I was actually quite surprised. I think Alex Barrs really upped his game in the physical department. You know, he was smacking some guys in there, and I think, you know, playing with a lot more confidence than I've seen of him. I don't know whether it's he feels more comfortable or it's just another year or what it is, but I liked what I saw from him, and I thought he looked real solid in pass protection, you know, most of the day. Kramer started at offensive line, and he did a very good job in pass protection. I was, you know, usually if they're going to break down, that's where it is. And I thought he did a really nice job in there in pass protection for the most part. And when Liam was in there, he looked great. Well, Liam Leichenberg looked fantastic. I see why Kelly is talking so much about this is a battle. This is really a battle. I think you got two really good players, and I really liked seeing that. Again, I don't want to be but, you know, I say this all the time. If one thing looks good, that's because maybe the other part isn't as good as you're hoping. Is there cause for concern? Because here's two guys that have never really played, and they seem to be handling Notre Dame's defensive line pretty easily. And is that a cause for concern?
Well, I mean, Tommy Kramer was a five-star, so
he was.
We'll give the offensive line a benefit of the doubt, just because it's not like it's some.
There were a lot of five stars that I've saw come out of here that didn't look that good, though. You know, guys who ended in the NFL, like Ryan Harris, when he was a true freshman, didn't look that good.
These guys are from Ohio, Mike.
Yeah.
Ohio produces great football.
Oh, here it goes. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
But, no, I think the competition that Kramer and Eichenberg did face in high school kind of helps, just because they were playing the very best of the best in Ohio. And then they did go to two powerhouse schools where they did get the top of the line coaching. And I think that does kind of impact where they're coming in at, which they might be ahead of a Ryan Harris or some of the other top prospects that
Ryan Harris played at the top school.
He started as a freshman.
Yeah, exactly. And he started as a freshman
under Charlie Weiss.
Yeah. Well, he still was pretty good.
Who was his backup?
I don't even remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but no, I was impressed with both of them. You can tell that Harry's really, really taking his time with both of them. Even Zach Martin was working with those guys. So I honestly don't know who's going to win it. I mean, it's going to go deep into the fall, I would imagine, unless they just want to pick a guy and roll with him. But, I mean, I think either would be fine playing at this point.
That's going to be a tough call. And there's going to be some ego in that one, because those two guys really think they're great players, and they are. There's no question they are. And that's going to be tough, because one guy's going to have to sit, and the other guy, you know, is going to start, and they're good friends. You know, that's going to be a really difficult situation, but that's just part of competition.
The good news, though, is the loser of that battle, they'll be the backup at right tackle and probably left tackle if it's Eichenberg. If Eichenberg does lose it, he knows that he only has to wait that year, just because he'll essentially be the starter at left tackle the following year when McGlinchey leaves.
So. Yeah. Jamie, any thoughts from you on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is going to be competitive all the way till the fall. But I would say you just feel so much better about the right side of the line than you did last year, where kind of there was, you know, uncertainty at right guard and right tackle. And, you know, Bars at right tackle, it's just such an upgrade over what the competition was there last year. It's just a noticeable difference. And I think you're probably seeing a little bit better play from Sam Mustafer, not just because of that, but that's partially it, because he's playing beside a better guy. And you see that when they double, it's a significant difference this year. And I think, you know, we were both praising Eichenberg and Kramer. And I think that's because, you know, if you look at that in the kind of like big picture, I mean, how much better do you feel about that where, you know, a really good player isn't going to start. You just feel so much better about the depth and where everything is. And if there is an injury, you know, like remember in 2015 when Q Nelson went down and then Bars came in at guard, and there wasn't a significant drop off. And I don't think there is going to be a significant drop off if someone gets hurt, you know, this year. And it has to be so much more comforting for the offensive coaches and Harry Hiestand and the running backs too. They must feel a lot better about it. And I'm just really impressed with both those kids, and I think both in the long term are going to be really, really good players for Notre Dame.
Here's an interesting thing. You know, Brian Kelly's talked about Hunter Bivin kind of taking a back seat in all of this and, you know, basically letting these other guys get most of the reps or all the reps and, you know, and he's kind of going to be a Mark Harrell swing guy. Man, I don't know if I'm Hunter Bivin and I want to be a player. I don't know if I'd settle for that. You know, I'd seriously start looking around. I mean, what's a, you know, he can play somewhere. I don't know if that's wise, but I do know that, you know, they got to get those guys ready to go because they're going to be your starters. But it wouldn't surprise me if Hunter Bivin at the end of this, at the end of spring, says, you know what, I didn't even get a chance to show what I could do, so I might look around.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a frustrating situation for him, but props to him for going through spring ball and kind of taking one on the chin. But it is interesting you bring up after spring ball because, I mean, his brother's a GA down with Mike Sanford at Western Kentucky, so... I mean, that would obviously be an interesting place just because Bivin is from Kentucky too. So, but he may stick it out just because, yeah. I mean, that kid does have a lot of pride and he does love Notre Dame and he's very, very close with McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson. So he may just want to finish out his time with his buddies and move on. So,
well, there's some other guys that could, you know, Durham Smythe, you know, if all these other guys start playing well and getting more reps and doing stuff, Durham Smythe may bail. You know, he has the opportunity to do that too. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that unfolds once the spring is over. Guys, you know, I watched the offense and I was looking for a lot of things and I tried to find things that I really liked about the offense. And the things that I really like about it is I think the running game is going to be outstanding. I'm just really excited about it because I thought the backs did a better job of being patient, finding holes. I think that they trusted there would be some holes there, and they were much more effective. I liked it. They ran with more power. I liked that. I liked the fact that the Irish coaches are focusing on the running game because I think Brandon Wimbush, the best you can get out of Brandon Wimbush is when he becomes an effective play-action passer. If he has a running game that he can count on, wow. You know, he can be such an effective player and play action. So I like that. I like seeing that. I like to see what they were doing with the tight ends. Alize Jones, you know, how they feature him a lot. I think he's going to be very exciting to watch. I like Brock Wright. You know, he's a guy that could be a very effective inline blocker, but also has very soft hands, moves very, very well. Nick Wisher showed up and made some plays. And it's just one of those things with Wisher. It seems like you just give him, you throw him the ball and he makes a play, but he's always kind of an afterthought. But if you throw him the ball, he'll catch it. And it's just kind of interesting. I like the tight ends they have. Overall, I was, you know, I thought Wimbush looked better than I thought he would. I thought Ian Book, at least on Saturday, looked better than I thought he would. And so I think those are all encouraging signs. Anything stand out to you, Jamie?
Yeah, I think just, you know, we were talking about the offensive line, just and Bivin, and I hope he stays because he really has made like a transformation in terms of himself physically.
Yeah.
And I think they would love to keep him for depth and, you know, to be that kind of like next tackle in after those guys, and or, you know, he can play a little bit of guard too. But I mean, I really liked what I saw from Robert Hainsey and Aaron Banks too.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I was very impressed with those guys, and they don't look like early enrollees. You know, Hainsey more. He's not as physically developed as Banks. Banks is huge.
Yeah,
I mean, he's so big, and he's gonna be. Just wait till that guy puts on all the muscle that he needs to. He looks just so impressive, and I mean, he was just destroying some guys too in the run game that you just don't typically see from a freshman. And Hainsey just really impressive, was playing a little bit of left tackle. Like I think both those guys, normally you see freshmen and they look overwhelmed, especially physically on the offensive line. And I just didn't see it from those guys. I think they might have an actual shot to be on the two deep this year. I know Notre Dame has just traditionally redshirted all those guys, but I think they might be able to actually play. So I'll be interested to do with that. I think the depth is a lot better, you know, overall with on the offensive line, at tight end, in the backfield, you know, and I really liked what I saw from Chase Claypool as well at receiver.
Oh, here he goes with the Canadians.
You know me. I'm just a huge homer. So, but no, he looked great. He looked great and just so big and physical. I think I'm a little bit worried about the depth overall at receiver, but I mean, EQ looks, I mean, he looks like EQ. He looks like he's going to be a stud. He's going to be very good. I don't want to get too excited about the offense considering we didn't see much and we still don't know about the defense, but it was pretty much all positive for the offense overall.
You know, that was my next topic, would be what concerns you. And for me, it's definitely wide receiver. I think EQ's a really great talent. There's no question. And we saw moments where he would flash and look pretty good. I just don't see that consistent moment. You know, I don't see that consistency that we saw, you know, from some of the receivers, the great receivers that Notre Dame has had in the past. Now, it's spring. It's practice five. But I think for EQ to take that next step to be a consistent number one, you got to see that every practice. You know, we would see that every practice from all the way back to Raymond McKnight and Mo Stovall and Samardzija to Golden Tate to Mike Floyd, you know, to all those guys who were consistent performers and you could always count on. Those guys showed up in practice and did it every practice too. And I want to see that from EQ, because if I see that from him, then I know that he can be a true number one. I don't know who's number two at this point. And you would think it'd be KJ Stefferson, but, you know, there's no question. He's in the doghouse. Whatever. I don't care what Brian Kelly says. He's in the doghouse. They need to find a number two right now, and he's running third string. Sorry, that don't make any sense to me. He would be definitely in that mix competing for that. Couple things that stood out to me, by far the best I've ever seen Miles Boykin play was on Saturday. You know, I think I only saw him drop one ball the entire day, which is a big upgrade for him. And again, you know, I know he had a broken finger, so it takes a while for you to get comfortable with that and forget about that finger. But what I thought was impressive was he used his body so well. You know, before it was kind of big and lumbering, but he's definitely slimmed down, and he looked like a much more effective player. You've got, you know, now three twin towers out there. Guys, Claypool is, you know, at least 6'3". You've got Boykin is at least 6'4", and EQ's at least 6'3". That's going to be very difficult to cover in the red zone, but I would like to have a shifty guy out there, somebody who can also stretch the field and be a consistent performer.
Chris Fink.
Yeah, but he's, you know, the guy's 5'8", at most, and, you know, I think he's a very effective, you know, slot guy, but I worry about him and pass block, or not pass blocking, run blocking. We've seen him just get completely swallowed when he's out there doing that. I think he's a situational player. They need KJ Stefferson to somehow get out of the doghouse and start focusing and become the player that he can be. And if that doesn't happen, I got a little bit of concern heading into fall camp. Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean they need KJ Stefferson just because he's an elite talent. I mean, you can't teach the way that he runs routes and catches the football. I mean, that's something that Equanimeous can't do.
Yeah.
But I mean, with that said, I think that it was kind of interesting that some of the formations that they were in, they had Claypool in the slot versus Fink, but Fink was outside. So I think that can cause some matchups and some favorable matchups for Notre Dame in terms of who's getting the ball and who's guarding the ball coming out of the slot. Because, I mean, a linebacker or a safety trying to guard Claypool is not ideal. But I think that could be interesting going down the line. And then you talked about the three towers, but you can throw Alizé in there too. And, I mean, that's four.
Yeah.
So, they need KJ to get out of the doghouse, or they need to figure out what role Fink's going to play for them, because I'm not sure – for what we've seen so far, I mean, Fink's out playing C.J. Sanders still, so I'm not sure what C.J.'s role is going to be at this point.
Well, he's certainly going to be effective in the return game, and they sent him deep a number of times, and he made some big plays, there's no question. But I agree, I think Fink's the more accomplished player at this point when it comes to that. Switching to the defense, you know, we mentioned the O-line having so much success in pass protection, and in the run game, you know, does that cause you a lot of concern about the D-line? And my flat answer is, hell yes. I mean, it just is. You know, you just shouldn't be pushed around as much as they were. And to be honest, it wasn't just the first string offensive lineman pushing them around. Second string was having their way with them too. Last year, second string would get in there and they just, you know, they couldn't do anything. This year, the second string. Now again, brand new system, brand new coach, brand new coaches, got to learn. But I'm just concerned. I don't know if they have the talent starting, and then two, any sort of depth that we can count on. Jamie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm really concerned about defensive line. I think we kind of went into the spring concerned about it, and you kind of feel the same way that you did after it. You know, you're hoping for some pleasant surprises, but yeah, I'm really concerned about the depth at defensive tackle, you know, which is why you really would love to land a guy like Scott Pagano if they could bring him in. I mean, he's definitely immediate impact because he would play a lot. They would need him to play. I think there's just everyone there has, you know, obvious faults, I think, and that's concerning, you know, and there's ways you can kind of scheme around it a little bit, but it's hard to, you can't really hide defensive linemen, right? So I just didn't see anything other than from Dalen Hayes, who I thought, you know, really showed some exciting potential. And I saw some things from him that I thought were really encouraging in terms of his growth as a player and just kind of understanding, you know, and recognizing blocks and just playing off that. I thought I saw a real improvement from him in that respect, where he was looked a little bit more lost last year when we saw him in fall camp and all that. But I think overall, like, it's definitely concerning about the defensive line. The one thing that I will say is that Jonathan Bonner, I think, has definitely stepped up his game and looks much better than he did at any time he's been at Notre Dame. And I'm still a little bit worried about him holding up against a double team if he has to face that at three technique. But, you know, I thought he was stronger at the point of attack, found the football a lot better. A lot better, significantly better in pass rush, much, much more explosive in pass rush and better with his hands in pass rush. And if you're looking for one positive out of it, outside of Dalen Hayes, Bonner would be my guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think Notre Dame's kind of in a bad situation because, really, I think they like Jerry Tillery more as a three technique than they do a nose, but they just don't have a nose right now. So Tillery's got to play the nose position, which puts Bonner in a three technique. And I think Bonner is more of a depth three tech, you know, where he comes in and he's going to give you, 30 reps of fire plug, you know, good sound technique, you know, that kind of stuff. He's going to give you that. And that's where he would be very, very effective. But because they don't have a nose right now they can count on, that's kind of pushed Jerry over there. Pagano, if you can get him, solves that problem, right? I mean, he can be that effective nose. And then whatever you get out of Daniel Cage, who is clearly out of shape, just not in good shape at all, you know, was winded, I think, period six in practice. I mean, you can't be an effective player if you're not in shape. So, I mean, they have plenty of time to get him in shape. And at times when he wants to be a great player, wants to be effective, he really has quickness and can show it. But I think it's telling that he's now second string nose guard. And they moved Tillery over to the nose position. So you get Pagano, that'll solve a lot of problems, you know, I really think, because then you can move Jerry to the three tech. You can you know, play Bonner as a quality three tech. And then, of course, you have Cage who can help you spell Pagano. But without him, I am concerned. You mentioned Hayes, and I thought he did a really good job. Dalen Hayes looked really, really good at defensive end, or I guess drop. The one thing that stood out to me was he held up against a run better than I've ever seen him hold up. And that's really encouraging to me. I was not impressed with anybody I saw in the strong side defensive end position. Nobody stood out to me. Nobody looked good to me. That's a little bit of a concern. They got to get that going. And I don't know. Those are just my overall thoughts. Matt, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I mean, I'll be interested just to see what the D-line looks like once they start working on scheme more. Just because Elko does like his guys to shoot those gaps, and we didn't see those guys really attempt to do that. in the practices that we've seen. So I get what you guys are saying, but I think this is a timely process versus something that we're going to see within five practices. So not to be a Pollyanna or anything, but I think that this switch does need a little bit of time before we can really see what they're going to look like in the fall.
That was also, I guess, my next point is one thing that I noticed about this coaching staff is they're spending so much time on fundamentals and their techniques. And that's going to pay off in the end. You know, that's where I think they've really lacked. They haven't been a great pass rushing team because I don't think that they've taught very good fundamentals in doing that. I haven't spent enough time doing it. And, you know, Jamie, you mentioned a lot of the talks and in the coach's clinic was about, hey, fundamentals will beat scheme every time, and here's, you know, things that will show you that. So I think that the long-term payoff with this defense is going to come later, much later, because they're focusing so much on fundamentals and techniques and actually teaching the game of football to these guys. If you want to be a great pass rusher, you can't do it if you just got great speed. You got to learn how to move. You got to learn how to bend your body. You got to learn how to use your hands and turn. And so I think that's where things are really going to improve. And I don't think we're going to see that. We might not even see it at the end of this spring. We may have to wait until fall to see that.
Yeah, Jamie can correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see the defense blitz or be that aggressive on Saturday. And the one time that they did, Drew Tranquil busted into the backfield and got a 3-yard tackle for loss. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the one thing that kind of keeps me a little bit hopeful, like I just talked about, just going forward in the future, is they didn't do anything very aggressive from what we saw, and when they did, they got a tackle for loss. So
yeah,
we'll see how it is going forward.
I thought they were more aggressive in the red zone when they were, yeah, you know, going against a run. You know, they definitely did some blitzing in that situation, but when it was straight 11-on-11, I didn't see a ton. Jimmy, you any thoughts?
Yeah, they did do it a little bit, and I think, you know, like, but Matt said, you know, they didn't do it too much, but I think there was other times too where they blitzed and it could have been a sack, but they didn't choose to blow it down. You know, where they were bringing the rover. You know, Bilal got in there a couple times as well. I think that you know, overall, I just as you guys were talking about how it paying off in the long run, and I think back to Bob Diaco, and I know that Mike Elko is a very different coach than Bob Diaco. You know, scheme wise, but you know, the one thing with Bob Diaco that we saw is fundamentally the defense was just so different for him than they were under John Tenuta, and it was such a drastic difference. And then it didn't really start to pay off until late in that 2010 season, and you really started to see it really pay off in terms of tackling, and that kind of just stayed and maintained throughout. And you know, maybe we didn't really like some of the vanilla scheme that he had, but I don't think we need to worry about vanilla scheme later on with Mike Elko. But just overall, just the fact that attention to detail, the you know, working on the techniques, the fundamentals of tackling, all those kind of things, like, it absolutely is going to pay off in the end. And I mean, who cares if you know, the offense is lighting them up right now if they're playing good in, you know, November of this year, right? Which is, you know, normally you see that's when things kind of break down for Notre Dame. So, you know, you hope that that's not the case and they're building towards something.
Well, that's what I think it is. Again, I think they're focusing a lot on those fundamentals and that should pay off in the end. I'm still not sure they have a lot of great athletes at defensive line, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, neither does Navy, you know, neither does a lot of teams. As long as you play sound fundamental football, you have a chance to at least stay in games. And I think that's what we're going to have to expect from this defense, is just give Notre Dame's offense a chance to win the game. And as long as they play sound fundamental football and they don't give up so many big plays and you know, maybe generate some pressure and get off the field a little bit sooner than they had before, that'll give them a chance. And I think that may be what the best we can hope for. Guys, in this, you know, at linebacker, we didn't see a lot. We didn't see a lot that really stood out to me. I really didn't see really anybody that I was like, wow, that guy flashed. And, you know, I mean, I thought Asmer Bilal made a couple of nice plays, especially in the red zone, you know, was effective down there. But I just didn't see a lot from linebacker play that stood out. Jamie, any thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with you, Mike. The linebackers didn't shine, especially if you see them, you know, with the inside running game and them doing so well. They didn't get helped out by the interior of the defensive line. And that's another problem, too. Like, Niles Morgan can't look good if the guys in front of him aren't playing well. So I think that's part of the equation when it comes to the linebackers. I would say that I'm not worried about Niles Morgan or Tavon Coney or Greer Martini at all. I think those guys are going to be fine. You know, I am a little bit worried about the depth overall. And I do think that it was great to see, Drew Tranquil. You know, Matt mentioned that he sniped into the backfield for a tackle for a loss. And I just think he's just so much more comfortable when he's playing 4 yards off the ball than 12 yards off the ball. And I think they're going to use Asmer Bilal there at Rover and kind of utilize his strengths there. And I'm excited about that. But I think with the inside guys, it's not that they were bad or anything, but you just didn't see a lot of flash from them. And partially that is because, you know, they're not blitzing those guys. They weren't really bringing them. And the other thing is that, you know, the guys in front of them weren't playing that great in front of them.
Secondary, I mean, maybe I'm foolish, but I love these corners. I think these guys are going to be really good players. I really do. You know, we mentioned Nick Watkins. That is the best I've ever seen Nick Watkins play. And it's not even close, really. I mean, Nick Watkins has been very disappointing in practice up to this point. And really, he's looked good all spring, not just on Saturday. He's looked good the entire way. So he's a quality player. I think Julian Love's the best corner they have right now. But Dante Vaughn does a lot of nice things, and it'll be interesting to see how they do that. And then, of course, you've got Troy Pride, who made a couple of really nice plays on Saturday as well. He's got great speed. Once he gets a little more physical, I think he can be a really good player. And then I didn't know what to expect with Sean Crawford, but he's back. They don't put him in, you know, in the real competition in 11-on-11, but he's doing everything else, and he looks like he can do everything else. I think they're just being cautious with him. But when you look at it, I think Notre Dame has 5 quality corners that can play. I don't remember last time I heard that or could say that. That's, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be great players at this point, but I think they have the athleticism to do it. I think they have the instincts to do it. And I think they're starting to really play like quality corners. So I'm excited about that. Safety, I'm just as concerned about D-line as I am, I might be even more concerned about safety at this point. Elko spends a lot of time with those guys, and they need it. I can't name a guy back there who's playing well. I literally cannot name one guy.
Isaiah Robertson.
Well, yeah, and as a true freshman, he looks better than, I wouldn't say better, but he looks as good as anybody else out there. And he's just, this is the first 5 practices. They got problems, and I don't know how you fix it. I just don't know how you fix it. Matt, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, safeties didn't do very well in the stuff that we saw. I will say that they are competing hard, and I think that's something that you might not have seen in the past years, but it's definitely a concern. You can tell that there is some athleticism there too, though. Even DJ Morgan, he's not ready to play right now, but you can tell he's worked on himself to improve his game physically. He's running around a lot smoother and turning a little bit better and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know who Notre Dame's starting safeties are going to be.
Isaiah Robinson is already a better tackler than Jalen Elliott or Devin Studstill. Yeah. Already, right? I watched him in coverage, you know, in one-on-ones, and he was more effective than either of those guys. If I'm Notre Dame, I give him a shot. I really do. He played with a lot of attitude, a lot of effort.
He's a big kid.
A big kid. I bet he ends up being a Rover in the end. But man, this kid's a pretty darn good player. I'm surprised. He shocked me at how well he played compared to everybody else back there. Jamie, any thoughts for you?
Yeah, you know, I'll just reiterate what you guys said about Isaiah Robertson. Really impressed with him, especially the way he played against a run. Man, did he ever fill And physically, he looks just so impressive, and he's just so long. I think he's going to play this year. You know, at some point, I don't know if he's going to start, but he's going to play. He's going to be too good to keep off the field. And I think if you look at it too, you know, there's a reason Isaiah Robertson was a four-star kid and some of those other guys weren't, you know, and you look at that and, people want to discount, you know, recruiting rankings sometimes, but, they rank him for a reason, you know, and he was a really good prospect and he looks like he's going to be a really good player. You know, hopefully, you know, mentally is the key, you know, there at safety, obviously, but physically he's ready. He's ready to compete. You know, I will say that Jalen Elliott, I think he's definitely improved. Than he was last year. But still, I mean, there's still, he's got a long way to go still. Stud still, I mean, he got beat a few times, you know, that I noticed. I don't think he's where he needs to be. And I think that's why you see Drew Tranquil. It's obvious he's a much better fit at Rover, but they kind of feel like they might have to play him at safety because of what they have there. And I think it also says a lot about Nick Coleman that he's all of a sudden he's running with the ones at one, you know, moved over from corner and he's running with the ones at free safety. I will say with Nick Coleman,
he made good plays. He did. Yeah. He made a couple of really nice plays.
Definitely. And, you know, I said to Matt after practice, I was like, Nick Coleman made more plays today than I saw Max Redfield making practice in 3 years.
Yeah, it's true, too. It's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, and if this is just him getting a start, then, you know, that is the one thing that was at least kind of encouraging to me. And I thought he played.
But, Jamie, what does that say that a guy who is a true freshman that is going in practice number 5 and a kid who's never played safety make more plays than two guys who started and played a whole lot last year?
It doesn't say much for the other guys, I tell you that. But I mean, I will say that is encouraging. I don't care who plays there. You know, they just got to find guys who can play. And if Nick Coleman ends up being a guy there at safety, you know, I'm encouraged that he's got some potential there. And, you know, he definitely has the speed to play it. And, you know, hopefully they'll find a solution. That's why you go through spring to kind of figure these things out. And, you know, he might be a pleasant surprise there because I definitely was encouraged by what I saw from him in terms of what his potential can be, whether it's just a one-day thing or not. We don't know, but, you know, we'll see over time. But, yeah, I mean, we came into camp kind of, like, concerned about the D-line and concerned about safety. And, you know, we get to watch practice and kind of feel the same way.
All right, guys. Anybody stand out to you in a good way? Somebody you didn't expect to really play as well as they did? I mean, we already mentioned a few, and Isaiah Robertson, you know, Nick Coleman we just talked about. Anybody kind of stand out that surprised you in a good way? Matt, start with you.
Outside of Tony Jones, I'd probably have to say Nick Watkins. But, I mean, obviously we've already talked about those guys. But, I mean, like you talked about, Nick Watkins hasn't played football in a year. So for him to come out and play without any rust and play physical, that was impressive. And I totally forgot how big Nick Watkins was. He's a long player and he has some size, so I mean, if he can keep it up, it's him and Dante Vaughn on the outside would be very, very interesting against some of the teams already in play. So I mean, those two would have to be it for me.
Yeah, he's a big kid, no question, and he looks more athletic than he ever has, so I was really excited about that. Jamie, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to say Watkins as well. Just I know we're just talking about him again, but he just physically, not just in terms of how long he is or how tall he is, but if you put him beside Dante Vaughn, they look very similar in terms of their build. And he looks like he's kind of really put in the time, especially for a guy who, you know, had surgery and was out and couldn't really work out that much his upper body at that time. He's really transformed himself. He's someone that I imagine that with the new strength and conditioning staff, that has really been a big thing for him. And he looks great and so physical at the line and just, you know, and looks confident out there too. And that's good. And then, you know, I mean, we were talking about the other corners and Julian Love, I think, you know, obviously finished the season really strong. So we kind of expected him to, but he's just been so impressive. He just has stood out to me. I thought he was going to be good, and he's been even better than I expected. I mean, I he's virtually every time the ball is thrown his way, it seems like he's breaking up the pass. It's just, I mean, he's frankly kind of dominant out there. And to me, that's very encouraging. And we know how he tackles and all that. I feel very, very good about Julian Love and kind of where he's going at corner.
All the guys that I'm going to mention, we've already mentioned, but I just want to single them out. Again, I think Miles Boykin surprised me a whole lot. I hope we see more of that because they could really use that out of him. They could use his, you know, it'd be nice to have at least a number four guy that you can count on. And I'm not sure he's going to be, you know, he may be three. He may be two when it's all said and done if they don't get some other guys to step forward. But I liked him. The two freshmen you mentioned, and Hainsey and Aaron Banks, Hainsey's just shocked me at how good he was in pass protection. Absolutely shocked me. I mean, nobody could get around the kid. And I'm like, yeah, this kid's a true freshman. His legs are skinny. I mean, how does he do this? And
that's the perk of going against Robert Beal and Josh Kane for a year.
Honestly, he did a really impressive job. I was very, very impressed. Can't wait to see what he does because he looks like he could play tackle even though he's only, you know, maybe 6'4". But he looks like he could be a tackle when it was all said and done. Moved very, very well. I think Aaron Banks could be a right tackle, could play guard. Loved what I saw from him. We mentioned Robertson. I thought he was very impressive, you know, for a true freshman. Kind of really stood out to me and shocked me a little bit. I thought Ian Book had a really good day on Saturday, and I'm anxious to see. Hopefully that will continue. I'm just trying to think. I thought, Alex Bars was kind of a surprise that he looked as good as he did in there. You know, we mentioned Tony Jones.
I mean, it's no surprise, but, I mean, Chris Fink is just a solid player. I mean,
well, continues to be. Yeah, continues to, and nobody seems to be able to unseat him. And I think that's encouraging, too. It's certainly a competitive player. You know, we've already kind of talked about our concerns. I don't think we really need to hit any more on that, but I think it's very important for people to understand that, look, this is just practice five, right? We got a brand new offense, we got a brand new defense, and the offense is a little bit different. They are doing different things, so there's going to be some growing pains there. Offense is clearly ahead of the defense, but again, I think because they're focusing so much on the fundamentals of things, that's gonna take some time. And I think people need to just kind of, as Kelly would say, pump the brakes a little bit here on, you know, getting too overly critical about things that we've seen. We've seen guys look outstanding in spring football that just didn't even show up, you know, for the season. So, and we've seen guys that just didn't look good in the spring show up. And, I mean, gosh, DeShone Kizer, before he became a starter, looked awful in spring and then became a starter and became a really good player. So it's just practice at this point. And it's important. I think it gives us an insight into individual players and their talent, right, and their ability to be good players. But I think sometimes we read way too much into what we see happen on the practice field for offense, like offense as a whole or defense as a whole. You know, like if you would have just saw all the plays that you saw offense, and then you would have said, well, this defense can't stop anybody. Or if you would have saw the defense, the way they played in the red zone, and Notre Dame couldn't really score, that they weren't very effective scoring, and you didn't see all the other stuff, you'd say, wow, this defense is pretty good. So I think in the end, you know, you just can't read too much into it. And so I think that's one thing that I wanted to point out. Finally, let's get to a little bit of the recruiting stuff. Jamie, I just want to get your thoughts on Dirksen. Raw kid, doesn't play the best talent. What do you think of him?
Well, one, he's huge. I mean, he's a big kid. You know, Matt and I walked by him on the practice field, you know, on his visit, and he looks a lot more like Josh Lugg and Dylan Gibbons than the other guys who were the other 2018 kids. He looks like he's about ready to start, you know, college this summer compared to the other guys. You know, he's legit 6'5", you know, over 300 pounds, and looks like he's going to get a lot bigger, too, in terms of just, you know, adding muscle to his frame. So he's probably going to be, you know, 320, 325 pounds eventually, you know. And I think what's encouraging about that is you see how big he is, and he can move really, really well. He's not a slow-footed guy. You know, you expect him to kind of be strong, and he, you know, he's a guy who grew up on a farm, so he's kind of got that farm boy strength. But he also, you know, to be an actual athlete, and I mean, I think there's only the sophomore film available of him, so you know, it's hard to say kind of where he's at right now. But even just based off that, you see a guy who's really moves well, really, like, you know, we'll finish guys and then go looking for more work, which is always encouraging to see. And, you know, he just has the kind of, he has the kind of feet and has the kind of traits that you're looking for in a long-term guy. And I think with, you know, Cole Mabry, the other tackle that they got committed, he's a good athlete and needs a little bit more physical development. I mean, he definitely has that same kind of mentality where he's wanting to finish guys. But, you know, he's got a, there's a huge difference between them. You know, you can tell there's the 30, 40 pounds difference between, those two guys when they're walking by each other. And to me, that's encouraging about Dirksen, where, you know, physically he might be a guy who's ready to play. I mean, obviously we got to watch, you know, where he's at, you know, technically, but, I mean, he definitely has all the tools that you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, what'd you kind of think of Jamon Franklin, the defensive tackle that was in? I know we saw him on Saturday walking around. He looks all of 6'2", maybe even 6'3". So I think the size concerns you can kind of toss out the window.
Jamie?
Oh, yeah, I would say with Franklin too. Like, sorry, it like kind of cut out there for a second. But with Franklin too, I mean, that to me was really what I was kind of looking for, because he looks so short on film and looks like really short arm. And he didn't look like that in person. You know, he looked a lot more similar. And I think there was that picture with him and Jacob Lacey where they look like the same size. And, you know, we saw Lacey kind of walking around the other day too. And he looks, you know, they look similar. You know, Franklin's a little bit thicker than him, but, they look similar in size, and that's encouraging. But when you see Franklin on film too, I mean, he's got such a quick first step, you know, really explosive. And that's the kind of thing that can overcome, even though he isn't the tallest guy or the longest guy. If you got that first step, if you're explosive, if you got that kind of explosive power off the ball, then, you know, you can kind of make up for some of that, the lack of like being, you know, Jerron Jones in terms of having those pterodactyl arms.
What about, you know, the other two linemen that came in? You know, we looked at Hayes came in, and there's been a lot of, I guess, speculation that he went up to Michigan, and all of a sudden Michigan may have jumped out into the lead there. I want to do some more investigation on that, but that would be disappointing if that's the case, because I think Notre Dame felt like they had a real good shot at him. I think he's supposed to visit Michigan State today, but I guess we'll see. You know, we'll see whether – What unfolds on that. And then Petit, how do you say that? Petit Ferrer?
Yeah.
Ferrer? I love that kid. I mean, he's going to – I mean, I think he can be a really tremendous talent. Skinny, you know, needs to add some weight. Looks about 265 right now. But by the time he gets here, he'll be at least 280. And he's got the full 6'5", so moves very well. I hope they can get him. Out of all the guys that are left, I think he's probably the one I would want the most.
He just looks athletic walking around.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously Hayes, they want to get four linemen. So it's important to get a guy. You know, you hope that they can still land Hayes as well. But Petit Ferrer, I think, is the guy that I would want more than anybody at this point, just based off of film.
Yeah, I love him. I think he's going to be a big, big-time player. And I think what's encouraging about kind of his size too is, you know, we saw him spending a lot of time talking to Matt Bayless at the practice. Him and his mom were talking with Matt Bayless for half an hour. I'm sure he knows that, you know, he's got to put in the time in the weight room to kind of get to where he needs to be physically at the next level. But, you know, for a guy who's really athletic, can, you know, definitely a future left tackle, you know, one day at the college level. And so he's got that kind of like, you know, that Ronnie Stanley kind of athleticism that you're kind of looking for, that, you know, kind of, and he's, you know, got that perfect kind of, frame for that kind of position. But I think he's got maybe a little bit more edge than Ronnie Stanley had when he came in as a recruit too, in terms of his run blocking too. So to me, he's the top guy in the board. I think he's one of the top. It's not a great year for offensive linemen, but in my opinion, he's one of the top offensive linemen in the nation, and would be an absolutely huge get for the Irish.
All right, folks. Well, that's going to be it for today's Power Hour. I hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back next Monday. We'll talk spring practice again. I think access this week is Friday. We get to see about 30 minutes. We get the coaches, you know, that will be in, and they'll talk on Wednesday, and we'll get their thoughts. So that'll be interesting. You know, we haven't really talked about some of the comments the coaches have said, and we'll focus more on that next week and kind of get their thoughts. But it's nice to get the assistant coaches' opinions on things. And so looking forward to that. Once again, sign up for Irish Sports Daily. You can go to the front page. It's $19.99 from now until August 1st. Great time to sign up. If you would, please share the podcast. You can go to the front page and click on the share button on for Facebook or Twitter. That would greatly help us, or just email the link to all your friends and family. We'd appreciate it. Once again, if you want to advertise, you can hit us at MikeFrank18@sbcglobal.net. I'll give you details on that. And once again, if you have any questions about the show, stop by the Huddle, our free board. Go to the forums on the front page, drop down to the Huddle. You can ask us whatever questions you'd like there. That's going to be it. And
I got one final question, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
Who are you picking in the Final Four?
Well, the Final Four is now decided. Yeah, it's now decided. So what?
I know who you're going to pick to be the national title.
Oh, who would I pick to be in the national title? I don't know. I really don't. You know, I honestly don't know who I would pick at this point.
Ducks are tough.
I think I like
that was
Oregon.
Surprising. Yeah, I Kansas lost, and to be honest with you, they played terrible. One guy showed up, and to me, that's on Bill Self.
Heart.
That's on Bill Self. You got to get your team ready to play, and they were not ready to play. So I told my wife, when they won against Michigan State or Purdue, I said they played their best game, so they're done. And I knew it. I knew that they were done, because you can't play that well and then come out and play that well again. That's just not going to happen. So, but yeah, I was very disappointed that only one guy showed up for that game, and that just should not happen. So, it was what it was. So, what are you going to do? But I don't know who I'd pick. I really don't. I don't know. I really don't know.
The Gamecocks are playing some good ball right now.
Honestly, that's
hottest kind of team in America.
That's kind of a tough situation. I really don't know what I would. I don't know. I guess we're going to see. Well, that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Power Hour.